What's it like being a musician in Japan? I love Japan. I think Japan is an amazing country to live in. And living in Japan has given me the opportunity to have a very great quality of life, as well as afforded me many opportunities to continue performing and teaching music. I currently play guitar in two Japanese bands. One is a metal band, and the other is hard rock, leaning toward pop band. The Japanese metal band is a band called Der Rosenengel, and it leans more toward melodic, gothic metal, and it's also, in Japan, is a part of a genre called, what's it called? The genre is called something, and it really emphasizes the visual aspect of the band, where there's makeup involved and sort of costumes, and you know, it's a lot of fun. And doing that sort of thing was weird at first, but I really enjoy doing different things and having the opportunity to perform in a different way. So it suits me, it may not suit you, but there are tons and tons of other opportunities in Japan for musicians, for foreign musicians. I'm really speaking to other non-Japanese musicians. The other thing is, the other band I play with is a new thing that I was invited to do, and it's really great. It's a hard rock with kind of pop style vocals. The artist is named Miwa something, and this is really, I'm really excited about this. It's really fun. The music is really good. The other opportunities, immediate opportunities, are foreign bands, so to speak, that play a lot, do a lot of the bars and clubs, and you can actually make money doing this. It's not a lot of money, but it is a lot more than you would currently get probably at the local bar in, you know, a medium-sized city in America at this point. A lot of that is cover bands, and especially in Japan, I noticed that there's a lot of more jazz, funk, fusion, rock, fusion type of bands going on. And usually these type of bands are not explicitly foreign. I mean, there may be, I was in several different bands. One was all foreigners, and another one that I was in had two Japanese members, and the rest were foreigners. The difference is in the venues. So let me talk a little bit about Japanese venues. With the Japanese bands that I'm in, I'm the only foreigner, and this all happens in Japanese. There isn't very much English going on. And so to do that effectively, I think you need to have pretty strong conversational skills. You don't have to know how to read. You don't have to know how to write. But you do need to have pretty good conversational skills. And part of that isn't just communication, but it has more to do with the comfort level of Japanese people. Japanese people are amazingly kind and polite, as you probably know. But it's a little hard to get sort of in to a band like that or a group like that if you just are not, it's more to do if they feel that they cannot communicate with you. You know, they're very sensitive and considerate people, and so it's not that they're shunning you, it's that they avoid situations where they might make you feel awkward, they might make feel the other people feel awkward. It's, you know, a different combination of that going on. Anyways, the Japanese venues, these bands, Japanese bands, generally play in what are called live houses. Live houses are just venues. They're just venues, but they're really great venues. When you go to the live house, there'll be, you know, a stage, whatever, obviously, but they supply the backline. Backline, if you don't know, is they supply the amps and the drums and everything, most of the things that you would need. So as a guitarist or a bass player, you bring your guitar and your any effects, pedals, or any other gear you might need. And this is important because if you live in a larger city, like I do, I live outside of Tokyo, and I perform in Tokyo, and you have to carry your gear, and you will most likely be taking trains and possibly buses, depending on where you live. If you live near train system, then you would just be taking trains straight to the venue. There's usually a little bit of walking involved. And so, as you can probably guess, you just don't want to be carrying, you know, an amp or something like that. Although sometimes people do, you know, the venues have cabs, so you could bring like your amp head. And especially lately, companies are producing, like DV Mark are producing some pretty amazing, small, lightweight heads that you could use. I generally bring a guitar and a very small pedal board. The venues generally, for guitarists, the venues generally have two choices of amplifiers. They'll usually have a Fender type and a Marshall type. And then a lot of times I've seen like the, what's it called? The Roland JCM 120 or whatever it's. And sometimes you'll see that used. I prefer the Marshalls, obviously. And for bass, off the top of my head, I think they'll usually have like an Ampeg amp and cab and maybe something else. I don't really know off the top of my head. I'll look that up. And, you know, microphones and the drums. Sometimes drummers will bring their own cymbals, of course, or whatever they might need. And that's it. And they have a full-time sound guy. And the sound is usually pretty good. It's pretty consistent. People are very professional. It's very organized. They expect you to show up. You're supposed to do a sound check. It's very organized. You got to stay on schedule. It's pretty cool. I mean, you know, if you grew up playing in the States like I did, then it seems very professional. It's very nice. A lot of what you need is provided for you, so it's very convenient. So again, that's another thing that has enabled me to keep doing this. As you know, I get older, then the idea of carrying a huge Marshall stack is just less and less of an option. Also, if you do use a car, and you can use a car, but you have to pay for parking. So that's the drawback with that. Parking in Tokyo is just sort of unreasonably expensive, in my opinion. So there's really no reason to do that. However, if you're playing in a smaller city somewhere else, then there could be more flexibility. Parking isn't as expensive and whatnot. Now, the foreign band situation, and foreign bands, you know, that's not like an actual term. I'm just using that to describe that. Foreign band situation is you could be playing in a live house. There's no reason you couldn't be. But generally, foreign bands sort of contain people with less Japanese skills, so it's more of an English environment, and so they generally will go to venues, which are usually bars and small clubs, or bars and clubs and pubs or whatnot. And they'll go to those kind of environments, and usually where there's just more English-speaking people in general, and more foreigners will come out. I should say that when you play the Japanese live houses, those venues, it's the crowds that I've seen are generally Japanese, you know, with a few foreigners here and there. The foreign band situation more caters toward English-speaking people and foreigners, so there generally is more foreigners there. One of the biggest drawbacks that I see with the live houses, the more Japanese venues, is that it's pay to play. You have to, as a band, you're required to sell a certain amount of tickets. And if you don't sell those tickets, then you have to basically pay. You have to like buy those tickets. So the venue has a certain amount they have to make. And, you know, it's kind of a pay to play type of thing. So that kind of sucks in a way. But in another way, it's also good. It's very straightforward. You can actually, this is maybe another topic, but you can actually accomplish quite a bit if you are unaware of this in the music industry by paying your way. So I'll save that for another article. So the other way that I have made a living is by teaching music in Japan. So right now I teach guitar, and I teach guitar online, and I also started a local school called the Shonan Music Academy. I live in a place, amazing place on the coast called Shonan, so it's Shonan Music Academy, very creative. And I teach, you know, children's, teens, and adults. I teach guitar, I teach ukulele, I teach bass, and I also teach percussion, although I'm not really a percussionist. I use percussion to teach rhythm. And that there's money to be made there. When I used to live in Tokyo, I had my own, I taught out of my apartment. I had a room which was kind of soundproofed, and it was kind of a bit of a professional looking setup, and I did guitar lessons mostly. It was mostly for teens and adults, I made a pretty good living doing that. The other thing I want to say, though, is that being in Japan, there's one thing that is available to you for making money that is not available to you in an English-speaking country, and that is teaching English. Now, when I say teaching English, I'm not talking about teaching in a class like an English teacher, you know, with a master's degree in English, teaching English, you know, not. No, this is like anyone can do this. It's basically conversation lessons, and you essentially talk to the student, you know, your student. You talk. It's conversation lessons, and you have to be able to sort of explain, and you have to be a good communicator. Mostly, you can do very well at this by just being an enjoyable person, you know, a decent appearance and a good atmosphere, and just in general, an enjoyable person. And you can make good money doing this. You can make, you know, anywhere from approximately in dollars, I'll speak in dollars, you know, $25 an hour up to maybe 40. If you don't have a lot of experience, then you're probably going to be looking more like $25, $30 an hour. Hey, but that's pretty good, I think. And you can do this freelance, or you can do this working for a company. Now, if you're going to work in the school system, then you will most likely need a degree. And this isn't to qualify your English skills. This is just simply for the visa. This is this to get a visa. So that's important. If you're going to live here long term, you have to think about how you are going to get a visa. But that's outside of the scope of this article. So we'll save that for another article. Then aside from that, you know, to pay the bills, I just want to say that Japan is a very livable country. You hear how expensive Tokyo is and everything like that. But that is true. It is expensive, but it's also very doable. You can rent a good, you know, studio apartment for anywhere from maybe $500 to $800 a month. And not very big, of course, but, you know, you're in the city, you're in the heart of the city, and it's a good starting point to be able to go from there. Okay, this is kind of similar to what I did how I got my feet going. And now, you know, I own my own home and live, you know, a very good life doing this. For me, one objection that's usually raised about teaching English is, you know, I'm a musician and I don't want to teach English. Why would I want to do that? Well, I used to think that way. And when I've lived in Japan twice and I went back to the States and lived for a while and then I came back. And when I came back, I had an injury and I couldn't even play guitar. So I didn't know what to do. So really it was like one of the only things I could do. So I started doing that. I started doing English classes. I started these sort of music slash communication classes for kids. And then I started doing conversation lessons for the adults. And I noticed that, you know, the kids, a lot of them were interested in music. And I noticed that the adults were parents of these children who were also involved in music or musicians themselves. And this sort of morphed into more and more music to where now I do like kind of like coaching lessons where I'm coaching singers to sing in English. I'm not really a singer, but I do know enough about vowel modification and I know enough about English, obviously, to be able to help these Japanese singers, you know, to pronounce, you know, proper pronunciation and to improve what they do. So I really want to encourage you to be open to doing that because I really feel that, you know, doing English type of teaching, especially with kids, is super fun. It's sort of like the gateway, you know, it's the gateway drug into other. It's the gateway. It's your way in. It's easy for Japanese people to understand that you're sort of an English teacher. They understand this. And they accept you faster, you get into a community faster, and then that's really the key to being able to then branch out into other things. You know, people will start getting to know you, oh, you're a musician, oh, okay, and then it goes from there. And that's exactly what I did and, you know, what happened in my case, and it's been very, very good. So I encourage you to be open to doing that. Aside from that, there are other ways to make a living. I mean, there are, you know, people tend bartending, you know, there's entertainment, there's, I have not done it yet, but there's opportunities for acting or voiceovers and a lot of different things. So there's a lot of opportunity, especially if you live in the Tokyo area, which I don't now. So my situation is a bit different and in that sense. What else?